Sacred Meditations by Johann Gerhard is a book of devotions that come from a pastoral soul. Some meditations are based on certain times of our Lord's life, for example, the benefits of Christ's incarnation and the ascension of Christ. Others address beneficial truths like the guardianship of angels and the dignity of the church. The Word of God is also proclaimed in real-life situations that we all experience. For example, false security, consolation in the death of friends, and the advantages of temptations, to name a few. In each devotion, Gerhard writes of the futility of the person to save himself under the law and directs the repentant soul to Jesus through the means of grace. In baptism, absolution, the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Communion, the soul is given the balm of Christ's forgiveness. Such a soul is drawn closer to the Lord, wherein one abides in the nail prints of the hands of the crucified and risen Redeemer. But he doesn't stop there. Gerhard encourages us to remain steadfast in the faith with such meditations as the imitation of Christ, general rules for a godly life, and the principles of Christian patience. In addition, he urges the Christian to remain faithful unto death and be given the crown of life. For example, desire for eternal life and the blessed companionship of angels in heaven. Perhaps by repeated listenings to these meditations, you'll discover your favorites. May it be so for you as you hear the Word of God proclaimed by Johann Gerhard in his Sacred Meditations. Meditation 7. The Fruit of Our Lord's Passion. The Passion of Christ is my hope. Whenever I meditate upon the suffering of my Lord, I cannot but venture a great deal in respect to the love of God and His forbearance toward my sins. He bends His head to kiss me. He extends His arms to embrace me. He opens His hands to bestow gifts upon me. He opens His side, that I may behold His heart glowing with love for me. He is lifted up from the earth, that He may draw all men unto Himself. His wounds are livid with grief, yet gleaming with love. And in those open wounds we must seek for the secret of His heart. Truly with Him is plenteous redemption. For not a drop only, but streams of blood flowed from five parts of His body. As a bunch of grapes cast into a press is crushed by the weight placed upon it, and on all sides pours forth its juice, so the flesh of Christ, crushed by the weight of divine wrath and the severity of our sins, pours out on all sides its precious lifeblood. When Abraham showed his willingness to offer his son in sacrifice, the Lord said to him, "Now truly I know that thou lovest me." Acknowledge also the wonderful love of the Eternal Father in that He was willing to deliver up to death His only begotten Son for us. He loved us while we were yet enemies. Will He forget us now that we are reconciled by the death of His Son? Can He be unmindful of the precious blood of His own Son when He numbers even the tears and the steps of His godly children? Can Christ possibly forget in His life those for whom He was willing to suffer death? Can He, enthroned in glory, forget those for whom He bore such awful anguish upon earth? Consider, O faithful soul, the manifold fruit of thy Lord's passion. Christ for us endured the bloody sweat, that the icy sweat of death's agony might not disturb us. He willingly wrestled with death, that we might not fail in the last trying hour, and endured the severest anguish and sorrow, that we might become partakers of the eternal joys of heaven. He suffered Himself to be betrayed by a kiss, the token of friendship and goodwill, that He might forever destroy sin, by which Satan had betrayed our first parents under the guise of a tender friendship. He suffered himself to be taken and bound by the Jews in order to deliver us, who lay bound in the fetters of sin and under eternal condemnation. He was willing that his passion should begin in the garden, in making an atonement for sin, because in the garden of paradise sin had had its beginning. He submitted to be strengthened by an angel, that he might make us companions of the holy angels in heaven. He is deserted by his own disciples, so that he might unite us to himself the more closely, who for our base defection had been cast off by God. He was accused by false witnesses before the council, that we might not be accused by Satan at the last day through that broken law of God. He was condemned on earth, that we might be acquitted in heaven. He, who did no sin, kept silence before sinners, that we might not be struck dumb for our sins when brought before the judgment bar of God on account of our sins. He suffered himself to be smitten on the cheek to free us from the stings of conscience and the buffetings of Satan, and to be mocked and insulted, that we might set at naught the jibes and jeers of Satan. His face was covered, that he might remove from our faces the veil of sin, which hides God from our eyes and leads us into culpable ignorance. He willingly submitted to be stripped of his garments, that he might restore to us the robe of righteousness lost through our transgressions. He was pierced with thorns, that he might heal our sin-pierced hearts. He bore the burden of the cross, so that he might remove from us the awful burden of eternal punishment. He exclaimed that he was forsaken by God, that he might prepare for us an everlasting habitation with God. He thirsted upon the cross, that he might meritoriously earn for us the dues of divine grace and prevent our dying from an eternal soul thirst. He was willing to be scorched by the flames of divine wrath, that he might deliver us from the flames of hell. He was judged, that he might free us from God's judgment, condemned as a criminal, that we, the real criminals, might be acquitted. Was smitten by impious hands, that he might deliver us from the devil's lash. Cried out with bitter pain, to save us from eternal wailings. He shed tears upon the earth, that he might wipe away all tears from our eyes in heaven. He died, that we might live. He suffered the pains of hell, that we might never experience them. He was humbled before men, that he might heal our sinful pride. He wore the crown of thorns, that he might win for us a heavenly crown. He suffered for all, that he might offer salvation to all. His eyes were darkened in death, that we might live forever in the light of the heavenly glory. He heard the most bitter scoffs and taunts of wicked men, that we might hear the jubilant shouts of the angels in heaven. Despair not, then, O faithful soul. Infinite good hast thou offended by thy sins, but an infinite price has been paid for thy salvation. Thou must be judged for thy sins, but the Son of God hath already been judged for the sins of the whole world, which he took upon himself. Thy sins must be punished, but God has already punished them in the person of his own Son. Great are the wounds of thy sins, but precious is the balm of Christ's blood. Moses, in the law, pronounces a curse upon thee, because thou hast not observed all things written in the book of the law to do them. But Christ was made a curse for thee when he hung upon the tree. The handwriting was written against thee in the heavenly court, but that has been erased by the blood of Christ. Thy passion, then, O holy and gracious Christ, is my last and only refuge.
The third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? Answer. The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is this done? Answer. When God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will which would not let us hallow the name of God, nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh, but strengthens and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith unto our end. This is his gracious and good will.